We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Long on a fastball inside, he takes it down the line to right and gives the Brewers a 1-0 lead.
You heard that on NBC Sports Chicago. This is Hit and Run on a Sunday morning on 670 The Score here in Chicago. Rami Makhlouf in for Matt Spiegel this now afternoon, and this portion of the show is being broadcast live from the Score Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. We'll have a tribute to Hawk Harrelson, who just made his speech accepting his induction into the Hall of Fame out there in Cooperstown, and rightly so. A tribute to Hawk, produced by the great Chris Tannehill, coming up in just a little bit. Before we wrap things up, make way for Cubs baseball. 12:45 pregame, 1:20 first pitch between the Cubs and the D-backs right here on 670 The Score with Zach and Ron on the call. But joining us to talk about that Brewers-White Sox series from the other side of things, he covers those Brewers for The Athletic. It's a pleasure to welcome in Will Salmon. Will, how are you this Sunday afternoon, my friend?
Man, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on. Always good to talk with you.
Always a pleasure, Will. We were talking before we brought you on from the White Sox side of things, but from the Brewers side of things, were you looking at this series between these two first-place teams as some kind of measuring stick for either team or a potential World Series preview, or your mind not quite there yet, Will?
Oh, no, totally. I thought it would be a great measuring stick, particularly for the Brewers, because, you know, what we've learned this year is they have a tendency to really sort of, I don't want to say, like, play down or get up for certain games, but we do see them sort of rise to the occasion on, like, these high-profile type matchups. They seem to really play well. If you recall that series against the Cubs before the Cubs spiraled, that was, you know, they were pretty much neck and neck there for a little while. And then, you know, the Brewers pulled off a couple of memorable wins, and that was that so far. But yeah, then, you know, a couple of days ago, they slumbered through the Royals series and just lay an egg in those two games. And, you know, it just goes to the point where it's like, you know, sometimes they show up and sometimes they don't, particularly offensively. So, yeah, I was curious to see what they look like against a really good starting rotation and how their arms matched up against those and just how their bats would respond, if at all. And so far they've had.
Talking with Will Salmon of The Athletic, he covers the Brewers here on Hit and Run. Rami Makhlouf in for Matt Spiegel. And I was saying also before the break that when you look at this series, and a lot of White Sox fans might be looking at how they've lost the last couple days, and it was Tyrone Taylor with the grand slam a couple nights ago, and then it was Rowdy Tellez with the two home runs yesterday. And if you're a White Sox fan, haven't been following this Brewers team all season long, you might be expecting to get beat by a Christian Yelich or a Lorenzo Cain, or maybe by that great starting staff, but not by a Rowdy Tellez or a Tyrone Taylor. But that's sort of been the MO of this Brewers team all season long, especially offensively, is kind of a different hero every day or every few days, right, Will?
Yeah, it's been like, whose week is it or whose month is it this time around? We can go up and down the list. I mean, in April, there were days where Billy McKinney carried this team, and that guy's now on, what, his third team trying to make fans in every American city, it appears, now with the Dodgers. But yeah, it's been a different guy every single time. Recently it was Jace Peterson, now maybe it's Rowdy Tellez, and that would be a welcome sight, just because they have not gotten any consistent power from the first base position. And if he can get rolling with some consistent time, And that makes things a lot interesting for the roster composition and what you could kind of look for at the trade deadline as we're a few days away. But, yeah, certainly not the guys that you'd envision performing at a high level for the Brewers in these games and these wins. But, like you said, it has been their MO. It's been different people. And it usually has been, like, the guy you least expect sort of stepping up in a big time for them.
Will, when you look at this series, have you been in the building at American Family Field for the first two games of this series?
Yeah, I have. I've been there both days.
You and I are familiar with each other. I'm a Chicago transplant working in Milwaukee, lifelong Cubs fan, and I get a lot of hate, not real hate, but you know, baseball sports type hate for the Chicago Cubs and Cubs fans coming up to take over Miller Park or what's now American Family Field and calling it Wrigley Field North. And I try to remind Brewers fans that, man, there was a time where it was these White Sox that you all hate. Like, there was a deep, deep hatred between the Brewers and the White Sox and Brewers and White Sox fans and fights regularly breaking out in the stands at the old Comiskey or at the old County Stadium. What's been the atmosphere at American Family Field so far this weekend? Because I know White Sox fans have invaded that stadium based on what I've seen on social media and just on my TV watching the games.
It's been very loud and terrific. It's hard. If you close your eyes and a big play happens, you wouldn't be able to tell which team it's for, really. The White Sox fans have been very present, and they've been very loud, and it's been pretty cool. You know, I know, like, Brewers fans may take that a little bit personally, but, like, it just makes, like, rational sense. You know, I've talked about it with a couple of people. I mean, it's a short drive. The White Sox are a great team. They got a large fan base. So, like, why not make the trip? And I've seen a lot of White Sox fans just in my neighborhood here in Milwaukee, just whether it's at a restaurant or, you know, just at a store or whatever. It's just cool to see. It's cool to see both the teams in first place battling it out. And it's been an electric atmosphere. Like I said, it's you close your eyes and you don't know what happened. Like, what was the result of the play? Because both sides are very passionately loud during the whole series so far. I totally expect that to continue tonight as well.
Has everybody kept it pretty much clean and safe, or are we seeing, like back in the day, brawls breaking out across American Family Field and security scrambling to stop it?
Man, I've been looking for them, but they haven't really appeared. Like, if they've appeared, they haven't, like, been like those type of, like, wipe out all section brawls,
right?
That,
right,
like, you see from certain cities, like Mets Phillies comes to mind. Like, I feel like you could, like, place like a good bet on, like, an over under of, like, three or four of those happening. But so far, like, if they've happened, I haven't really caught them, just because they haven't been like that whole section type brawl situation. So probably a good thing, I guess.
I'm talking to Will Salmon, covers the Brewers for The Athletic here. Rami Makhlouf filling in for Matt Spiegel on Hit and Run with you on a Sunday afternoon. Cubs baseball coming up, 12:45 pregame, 1:20 first pitch as they take on the Diamondbacks. When you look at these two teams, the Brewers and the White Sox, I was saying earlier, Will, that I kind of see mirror images of each other in some sense. Great starting rotations, bullpens that are pretty strong at the back end, have some questions in the middle, and offenses that have struggled and have been inconsistent throughout the season. And because of those offenses, I've said I think both of these teams could make some noise in the postseason just because of how their rotations can shut down opposing offenses, and that can carry you in October. But for either of these teams to have real World Series hopes and aspirations, I think we're going to need to see a more consistent offense from both the Brewers and the White Sox. How do you see it for these two teams?
Yeah, totally. Both these teams are, at least 15 games over 500, and I don't think, like, we've seen really either of them clicking on all cylinders.
Right.
You know, it's like for the Brewers, you know, you feel like they've never really had everything rolling for, like, a week. It's been like, sure, they've won X amount of games in a row, but largely it was because of they got maybe really great starting pitching that week, or maybe one week it was, like we were talking about earlier, about how they were just some guys who stepped up in their lineups that you weren't expecting, and they pulled out some close wins. But point is that I don't think either of these teams have really had that consistent stretch where they played their best baseball yet. So they got both those teams have that working for them while they're in obviously an envious and advantageous position. And I also think that the White Sox lineup, though, is where I give them the edge. And I know it's really weird to kind of say that after the past 2 days, maybe, but I do like their lineup a lot more than I like the Brewers lineup, even though the White Sox have been banged up. Some of the Brewers, but the White Sox, I just feel like they have the edge there. And I also give them a lot of credit or put a lot of stock into the idea that, you know, I liked what they did last year, and they got into the mix, and they knew what it took, and they felt those feelings that they felt when they came up short with a pretty solid team. And I think that will serve them well as we head into, you know, the stretch run in August and September.
How active do you expect David Stearns and the brain trust of the Brewers to be as we creep up to the trade deadline here in 5 days, Will? I know a lot of Brewers fans have their eyes on the same team and a couple of the same guys that a lot of White Sox fans do, and that's the other team here in Chicago, and Anthony Rizzo and Chris Bryant. Expect any big splash type of moves from the Brewers like that before the trade deadline comes and goes on Friday?
That very well could happen. I'd argue that would definitely be something that, I mean, I would definitely advocate for one. Now, they could go a couple of different paths, though, the Brewers. I mean, they could go for that big name type player. It doesn't really have to be a hitter, I don't think, either. I think it could be a starting pitcher, because if you look at the way that they have managed their starting pitchers, sure, those guys have been excellent, but that doesn't mean that you just sit on that and everything is okay. I mean, we know that they're trying to manage Freddie Peralta's innings. We saw that the other day. You have to be a little bit – you have to have some level of concern operating with Burns and Woodruff there, just because they're still relatively young in their respective careers and they're doing this, and they're obviously in the backdrop of last season. And so my point is that you may see them, or we may see them double down on their strength, which is starting pitching and run prevention, or their entire pitching staff for that matter. They still need to identify a couple more pieces, at least one more piece, I feel like, in the bullpen, perhaps two, depending on the health of Devin Williams. You could see them pull off a trade for a bat. They could use, say, a right-handed hitting first baseman, because Kesson Hira has just never really gotten going at a considerable rate. Or they could look to maybe fill the void with a bat at third base too, and maybe supplement Luis Urias there. We could see them do a couple of different things. As far as the Cubs go, I read David Stern say this, I think, in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. You know, there's a reason they haven't made a whole lot of trades with the Cubs and the Cardinals over the years, and there's probably a reason for that. So I wouldn't get my hopes up too much if I was a Brewers fan in that department or in that area. But overall, we've seen David Stearns and his group make the moves necessary when they feel like they've had a really good team, and they feel like they have a really good team this year.
Talking with Will Salmon of The Athletic, covers the Brewers for them for a few more minutes here on Hit and Run. Rami Makhlouf in for Matt Spiegel this Sunday afternoon. We've been talking about this matchup between these two teams, the Brewers and the White Sox, throughout this conversation, Will, but more times than not, it's the Brewers and the Cubs that are going head-to-head, both on the field and in the standings, and obviously the Brewers getting the better of it this year and going for their fourth straight playoff run under Craig Counsell. And I think a lot of Cubs fans are looking at what's going on 90 miles north and the payroll there compared to the payroll that the Cubs have here and scratching their head and going, how are those guys doing this? How are they doing it, Will, if you give us the Cliff Notes version of it? And how sustainable do you think it is? How long do you think Cubs fans are going to be looking up or at least battling with the Milwaukee Brewers atop the NL Central?
Well, the Brewers always remind me of the Rays in some ways. Now, unlike the Rays, they did lock up Christian Yelich to a long-term deal, and they said, hey, this is a tremendous player that we want to build something around. But also, though, they try to give themselves the opportunity to be very competitive every single season. And what that means is they're not going to necessarily go all in on any given year, perhaps, where they put all their eggs in that basket to sacrifice 2 years from now. They really walk a great balance, and they walk that line of we are open to the idea of acquiring help for, say, 2021. How exclusive that help is, that's kind of like where they draw the line, because they always want to look at, okay, how could this help us 2 years from now as well, or 3 years from now as well? And if you look back at some of their moves, yes, they made the move to acquire Moustakas a couple of years back, and he was just a rental. But then in 2019, you know, they made some under the radar moves. You know, Drew Pomeranz comes to mind. That was before he became like a lights out reliever. And so like they do a good job of walking that line, and they also are doing a great job of scouting and developing players, and particularly on the pitching side. And that's how they've been able to win games. And that's been their identity all of a sudden is pitching. And so to answer your question about sustainability, well, they have Burns, Woodruff, and Peralta all locked up through at least, I think, 2025 off the top of my head. So those guys are pretty good, and that's not a bad way to have a foundation there. And that's really the identity of this team. And so they feel pretty good about their chances of being pretty relevant, not only for the remainder of this year, but for the next 2 years at least.
Will, what kind of trade deadline are you expecting? Not for any of these teams we're talking about specifically, but just Major League Baseball as a whole. How much movement, how aggressive do you expect the teams in contention to be this year? It feels like things have slowed down both at the trade deadline and in the offseason when it comes to free agency in Major League Baseball the last few years, and it seems like teams just aren't willing to pay the price, whether we're talking about money or prospects or whatever it's going to take to pull off these trades, that they were willing to pay in previous eras of Major League Baseball. Did I lose Will? I think I lost Will Salmon. That's all right. That was going to be my last question for him anyways, and then I was going to wrap things up and move it along, talk a little bit about Hawk Harrelson. That was Will Salmon of The Athletic covering the Brewers and joining me on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline. Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Robbie Maklouf in for Matt Spiegel. It's official. Hawk Harrelson is a Hall of Famer. A tribute to the Hawk coming up right after this. Robbie Maklouf in for Matt on 670 The Score.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hey, I just want to share some good news with you and let you know that you have been selected as the 2020 14 Frick Award recipient. So congratulations and welcome to the club.
Oh, wow. Okay. Oh, wow, I'll tell you, I really appreciate it, but I also... I don't know how to, I've never felt like this, so I don't know what to say, except thank you.
Awesome, awesome stuff right there as Hawk gets the call that he's receiving the Ford C. Frick Award, and being inducted into the Hall of Fame in Cooperstown today, and that has happened. Hawk made his speech, his acceptance speech, and is a Hall of Famer now. It is official. We're going to hear some of that speech coming up in just a few minutes, but on this day that the Hawk gets the call and gets in the Hall, wanted to bring you a tribute to Hawk, produced by, as only he can, sound guy extraordinaire of the Parkins and Spiegel Show, Chris Tannehill, right here on Hit and Run on 670 The Score.
You can put it on the board! Yeah, yeah! Hell yeah!
Here you go. Click to click.
Mercy!
Stretch!
Catbird seat.
Get on back there.
Duck snort.
Yeah.
Good speed board.
TWTW. Council of Post Game Show.
Dreaded leadoff walk. There's a Kansas City special.
Well, that's a can of corn.
That's a hang whooping.
There's a patabata cola for you.
Dead gummit.
It's all good!
The wild pitch!
You've got to be sleeping me!
That didn't take long.
Don't stop now, boys.
Duck farts.
Socks packed with socks.
Captains of attitude.
Tricky's boys won't quit.
Willie's happy.
And Hanley is sad.
Come on, Willie! Come on, Willie!
Come on, Timo! Come on, Timo! Come on, Timo! Come on, Timo!
Come on, Alexei! Come on, Alexei! Come on, Alexei! Come on, Alexei, yes!
Come on, Johnny Dex!
Get back, Jermaine! Get back!
No, Johnny, no. Johnny, no.
Yes, yes, no, yes, yes!
I love this game.
I love that.
I have really come to love that duck.
And I love the Cuban people.
I love Tabasco sauce. And we'll be back.
Here comes a big hurt.
Mercy! Canyon!
Estelio!
Black Jack McDowell.
Uribe Lish.
El Canyon does it again.
The best left fielder I've ever seen in any time zone was Carl Yastrzemski.
Beckham's got that good face.
He's got the livest bat to come into this league since Carlos Delgado.
Mancata, he's got a good baseball face.
And that's how you get a 16,000 square foot house in Scottsdale.
Baseball is you got to catch the ball, and the next rule is don't mess with Joe West.
He's called a balk again.
Joe West deserves a suspension is what he did. He needs a rest. Brett Burley is one of Joe West just wanted to stick it right up his behind, and he did.
Close pitch didn't get him.
That was not a strike, but
Lance Barris just stuck his joint up is all he's done.
And that's just another bad ball right there.
This rule is BS. That's what it is. It's just not baseball.
Uh-oh.
Can't get him.
Was safe at
the no! And another blown call by Hernandez.
What job?
Oh, what are you doing? He threw him out of the ballgame. You gotta be faithing me. What in the hell are you doing? What are you doing, Wagner?
According to Siri on my iPhone. Once again, Siri, well, she's having a tough day.
But you know, sabermetrics in the last decade has been the most overrated thing come into baseball.
That's enough of that, Blackie. That's enough of that BS.
Blackie, it's just a matter of time, buddy.
I'm going downstairs. You take over, okay?
Evening, everyone, and welcome to Chicago White Sox baseball.
Sit back, relax, and strap it down.
I'm Don Drysdale along with Ken Harrelson.
All right, Donnie.
Here's the Hawkeroo.
All right, Wimpy.
Ken the Hawk Harrelson.
All right, DJ Ken Harrelson.
All right, Steve, thank you. And once again, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to White Sox baseball.
Yes!
Put it on the board. His first major league homer.
Yes.
Wilson Alvarez in his second major league appearance has just thrown a no-hitter.
You can put it on the board. Yes.
Bo Jackson in his first at bat of the 93 season. Homers to right field. What a moment this is.
Black Jack McDowell picks up his 20th victory of the season.
Slam homer by El Caballo, Carlos Lee, and the Sox win it here in the bottom of the 10th inning. There goes number 400 for Big Frank. You can put it on the board. Yes!
This is the greatest team that I have been associated with.
A two-run homer by A.J. Pierzynski, his 10th, and the Sox come up with four runs here in the bottom of the ninth inning, and they win it 5-3.
And for all those Heine birds out there who didn't believe it, screw them.
Joe Creedy, his second home run of the game, and the Sox win it in extra innings 7-6. Joe Creedy
and the White Sox are the champions of the 2005 Central Division.
Yes!
Down ball, Creedy.
Mark Burley has a perfect game going to the ninth.
That ball hit deep in the left center field.
Wise back.
Makes the catch. What a play by Wise. Mercy.
Under the circumstances, one of the greatest catches I have ever seen in 50 years in this game.
Alexei. Yes! History!
The ball hit deep way back. You can't put it on the board. Yes! Hell yes!
Mercy, number 400 for Pauly.
You can put it on the board. Yes!
A grand slam by Jose Abreu. And the Sox win it 9-6. Our kids just will not quit.
He gone. Slider. And a new record, 207 strikeouts for Chris Sale.
And this ball game is over. Boxing.
Well, Wumperu, chance this might be the last time you and I ever do a game together. And I want to tell you, the only way I can say it, buddy, is I love you. I always will.
Thanks, Sock. I love you, too.
It's Carl Yastrzemski.
Hey, Hawk, how you doing?
Well, yes, you take care of yourself, buddy. You know, I love you. You know that.
Oh, I know that, and I love you, too, Ken. Pleasure playing with you.
The one and only Bob Uecker.
I'm going to miss you, man.
You're my pal. You know that.
I know that. Bobby, thanks for stopping by.
Thank you, Hawk.
I love you, man.
Wear that hat in good health now.
Where's the boots?
The big hurt Frank Thomas with me today in the booth.
Everything you've done for me, thank you.
I love you, you know.
You know I love you, too. You belong in the Hall of Fame, my friend, and it's just a matter of time before it happens. And I'll be the first one there to meet and greet you. My man.
Hawk and Erica, we have shared some very precious memories today.
It's been an honor, Hawk. It's going to be very tough for announcers to be memorable anymore. I don't think people can do the things that you've done. It's going to be a long time before there's anybody that's like a Hawk Harrelson.
And AJ, as usual, buddy, it's great. Always great to see you.
Thank you for having me. It was truly an honor, Hawk, and as always, I love you.
Beautiful scene as both teams wave to Hawk, wishing him a fond farewell with his family in the background, which was just great.
I want to thank the fans. I love our White Sox fans. When you take a man's money, you take a man's money. But when you take a man's time, you take a part of his life. And I want to thank the Sox fans for giving me almost 35 years of their time. And this ball game is over. I love you all. And I always will. As I said, I'll go in my grave for that. Thank you.
There is a tribute to Hawk Harrelson, who today accepted his induction into the Baseball Hall of Fame and the Ford C. Frick Award. A couple of texts that came in during that from the 260. So you can put it on the board. I won't try and do Hawk. You can put it on the board, yes, and this production job, touch them all. That was by the great sound guy extraordinaire Chris Tannehill of the Parkins and Spiegel Show. This is from the 262.
Put it on the board, Lance Lynn, yeah.
From the 262, why all the Hawk? Did he die? No, man, he was put into the Hall of Fame today. He did not die. Hawk is, he's just fine.
And this one
from the, no, he's not. Stop that. And this one from the 260, what a grand tour down memory lane. Two thumbs up, 4-star kudos, chef's kiss. And you can text us as well, 312-644-6767.
What are you doing, Wagner?
Tech Zone is brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time. Shop online at Rosen Hyundai. We have just a little bit of his speech today as he accepted his induction into the Hall of Fame in Cooperstown.
When you take a man's money, you take a man's money. But when you take a man's time, you take a part of his life. And I want to thank you all for all the parts of 8 decades of your time. Thank you very much.
That was Hawk Harrelson today in Cooperstown accepting his induction to the Hall of Fame. And if you've been listening for the last few hours, or if you know me from my other hosting stints and spots here on 670 The Score, you know, diehard Cubs fan. Grew up on the north side and then in Palatine, just a diehard Cubs fan. And when I was younger, I don't feel like this is the case anymore, but when I was younger, there was plenty of hate between the Cubs and the Sox, and when I was young and stupid and naive, I just thought that's how things are and that's how it's done. And so I guess I have to hate the White Sox. I've eased up on that a lot over the years, especially this particular group of White Sox players. Fun group of guys to root for, and I've just kind of dropped that whole thing. I love the Crosstown Classic, and I want to win those games as much as any game over the course of the regular season, just for bragging rights over all my friends who are Sox fans. But the one guy who I could never hate on, I never had anything bad to say about him, never any animosity for the dude, even when I did buy into that silliness, was Hawk Harrelson, man.
Hell yes.
That I always just loved that dude and always loved that style of broadcaster. I was watching on MLB Network yesterday before the Cubs game started. They ran a little like 5-minute piece on Hawk Harrelson and how he became the broadcaster that he is. And he was talking about how he came up with all those sayings and expressions that you heard there over the course of that 7-minute tribute produced by Chris Tannehill. And the thing is about a guy like a Hawk Harrelson and guys cut from that cloth is it's got to be natural, man. It's got to come off natural. It can't be forced. It can't feel like those sayings, those phrases, those expressions are something that you wrote out or planned or was somehow artificial and created. And he was talking about put it on the board. That was from, he said that was when he was playing golf one day, and this was before we had digital boards out on the golf course where the score would go up immediately. It was sort of a process from the hole to the scorekeeper to getting it up on the board. And he was playing golf one day, and his score wasn't getting up on the board fast enough, and so he just hollered, "Put it on the board!" And he realized he had caught on to something there and started using it in baseball games. His mercy, that thing. He said that's something that everyone from Savannah, Georgia, where he's from, is just something that everyone down there says and was kind of part of his vocabulary long before he was a baseball announcer. And he just was just a natural on that microphone and just a guy who is as smooth as could come. And I don't know who the exchange was with in that tribute that we heard. Sean, you might know. But somebody was saying to Hawk, like, it's going to be a long time before we get another Hawk Harrelson. Guys, announcers don't do what you do anymore. And that is so, so true. And all due respect to the play-by-play announcers of the modern era of baseball, and especially in Chicago, we're super, super lucky to have Pat and Boog, and to have Jason and Len Casper on the other side of town. We're super, super lucky to have those guys, and they're among the best of those that are doing it today. But those personalities, man, those types of personalities, the Hawk Harrelsons, the Harry Carys, you heard him talking with Bob Uecker there for a few minutes in that tribute. Those guys are just few and far between, if even around at all nowadays. It's just not the way things are now. If you're going to get any sort of color or personality in most baseball booths nowadays, it's more coming from the color analyst, and the play-by-play guy more often than not is sort of playing the straight man and not necessarily putting his full personality on display. And guys like Hawk, guys like Harry Carey, guys like Bob Uecker literally made me want to do what I do for a living. I think a lot of the guys who would be those guys in this generation are probably doing sports talk radio more and more these days, or podcasts, because it's where you can go and show your personality and have some fun and be funny and be wacky and be weird. And when I declared my major in college, I said I want to watch baseball, talk about it, have fun talking about it, and get paid for it. And here I am filling in for Matt Spiegel on Hit and Run, and guys like Hawk and Harry Carey and Bob Uecker were the inspiration format. So my thanks to Hawk Harrelson, and congratulations, and very, very well-deserved induction into the Hall of Fame today. My thanks also to Bruce Levine, senior score baseball expert, Patrick Mooney, senior writer at The Athletic, Scott Merkin, White Sox beat writer for MLB.com, Will Salmon, who covers the Brewers for The Athletic, and Sean Anderson, producer extraordinaire, back in the studio, and Matt Spiegel and Mitch Rosen for letting me sit in this chair and fill in for Matt on Hit and Run this Sunday. Cubs baseball is coming up next. They take on the Diamondbacks, 12:45 first pitch, 12:45 pregame, I should say, 1:20 first pitch with Zach and Ron on the call. For Sean Anderson, Rami Makhlouf saying thanks for listening to Hit and Run. I'll talk to you again soon right here on 670 The Score, Chicago's sports talk radio station and your home for Chicago Cubs baseball.
And this ball game is over.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.